Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. Glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Today, no different. Great place to take your family for a good meal tonight or cater this weekend's baseball. Dickey's does a great job of that. And, man, they just love to make the opening baseball weekend a special one for you. And looking for catering, then we certainly suggest you check out Dickey's. All right, we are 3 days out from the kickoff of the 2026 baseball season, and we're bringing Coach Travis Creel on the show every Wednesday, as he did last year, and graciously agreeing to do that. So you know baseball's closed, Travis, when we're calling you on a Wednesday. I'm guessing you're about as ready as we are.
Yeah, it's time. And, you know, I think our guys said the same. You know, we've been scrimmaging for a while now, and they're ready to see another team in the other dugout for sure.
You're getting this close. I'm sure your game plan's in place, and you've got in your mind who's going to play where. So what is it that you try to do now between now and Saturday, Coach, or Friday?
Yeah, well,
Friday.
For me, obviously, you know, watching all their pitchers, doing as much research as I can, as much video watching as I can. You know, Oz does the same with the hitters, and more importantly than anything, just continue to get our guys ready as they can be for Friday.
All right, well, give us a picture of how good this UC Santa Barbara pitching staff is going to be.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty good one. You know, their coach is very well thought of as a pitching guy out on the West Coast. And, you know, every year it seems like they have high draft picks. You know, last year they had the second pick in the draft, so thankfully he's not here anymore. But, yeah, it's a really good, talented, deep staff. They've always done a really good job, but you know, we have a really talented deep staff too, so it'll be a good challenge.
Coach, we hear a lot about Jackson Flora, of course. What about him makes him so hard to hit?
He's really big. He throws really hard, and his fastball metrics are really, really good. You know, not trying to bore anybody with metric lingo, but you know, his induced vertical break, which is basically what it makes the ball appear to almost rise to the hitter visually, is really, really, really top level. So he gets a lot of swings on high fastballs that are balls because they look like strikes to the hitters.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the fans have heard about his name almost for the last month. Can you talk about some other pitchers they have behind him? Because their other two guys that they're going to start Saturday and Sunday are almost just as good.
Yeah, the Estevez, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Estevez, maybe?
Yeah.
He had a really good year last year from everything we're hearing in the D1 report. You know, last year it was 91-94. Looks like from the D1 baseball went out there, it's more 94-98 now. And then Montgomery on Sunday, he was Long Beach State's Friday guy last year. So three really talented starters with five or six really proven guys in the bullpen as well. So they can give you different looks. They can go left, right. They can sink it. They can ride it. They can spin the baseball. So it'll be a challenge.
We've talked generally, Coach Creel, about how early in the season, and again, broad comment here, that pitchers tend to have the advantages at all levels at the beginning part of the year because it just takes a while for hitters to kind of get up to speed, so to speak. Why is that? Because, I mean, the hitters, they've been taking their cuts in the fall and in the spring and lots of times against their own pitchers who are really, really good. But, again, generally speaking, hitters just struggle to start the season out as quickly as pitchers do.
Yeah, I think it's two reasons. I think, one, you know, our guys get 6 weeks off, and then just due to NCAA rules, we can't bring them back until, like, the middle of January. So there's really only, you know, 5 weeks or so of at-bats before. But, two, you know, probably more than anything, just is the weather. You know, as it gets hotter and it gets later in the season, the wind starts blowing from the south. And that's most baseball fields are pointed where a south wind's blowing out, including ours. So, I think those two reasons, just the limited reps, but also the weather, I think plays a big factor.
You know, you talked about those three initials that I couldn't even talk, IVT in vertical or whatever it was you just mentioned. And where I'm going with this is 25, 30 years ago, I mean, in the major leagues, a guy had a fastball and a changeup and maybe a curveball. Now you've got fastball, changeup, curveballs, splitters, all these different things. The body was able to do those things back 25 or 30 years ago. Why have we just slowly evolved to all these other types of pitches, do you think?
I think those pitches and those things have always been there. We just didn't really know what to call them. You know, I look back, you know, my senior year was 13 years ago, and we had guys that threw 92 miles an hour, but it looked way harder. And we had guys that threw 92 miles an hour, and it looked like a beach ball. And that's looking back now, we didn't know it at the time, but it's because their spin on their fastball, their metrics on the fastball weren't as good. So I think all those things have always been there. I just think now we can actually label them and see them, you know, on a computer.
Travis, kind of give us an idea of some new names, new faces that you think fans are going to be excited about watching this year in your lineup.
Yeah, you know, from the offensive side, two new guys that stick out right away are the senior transfers, Kyle Morrison and Caleb Stelly. Kyle played third base at South Alabama last year, has come in and made a really good transition to second base, been very coachable, can really hit. He's a good hitter, really good plate awareness, doesn't swing at a ton of balls, and he's got some juice. And then Stelly, you know, he missed all fall with a back injury. He's full go now. He's ready to roll. He'll either man center field or be our DH, I would assume, on opening day. And kind of the same thing, just that experience, that age, they give you quality at bats. They're smart hitters, and they both have juice too. So those two pieces that we added were huge. And man, to be honest with you, the rest of the guys, you know, I think our fans are pretty familiar with. You know, five returning starters, and that's not counting Davis Gillespie, who started 45 games. So really, six returning starters. And then you have the shortstop battle with Smith and Long, and then our four freshmen, who I do think could get some opportunities as well. So a lot of familiar names on the offensive side of the ball for sure.
Is the starting lineup set, Coach?
I would think so, Bob. You know, obviously me and Oz talk about it a lot, but sometimes he goes home and gets on his recliner and gets his sketch pad out, and things change the next day. So I feel pretty.
I wish I could just imagine that right now.
I feel pretty confident, you know, who the nine are going to be on opening day. But if we're being honest, it's tough, and it's a tough job that we have. We're trying to keep guys happy too, because
right.
We have 12 or 13 that probably could say they deserve it, and it's true, and that's a good thing about having some depth and having talented players. But now I feel pretty certain the nine that we know that we're going to roll it on Friday, you know, I think we know who they are.
Coach Creel, everybody is talking about how good the potential is on this Southern Miss team, but something that's interesting to me is generally when you're talking about the strength of the baseball teams, it's up the middle, right? On the mound, yeah. Catcher, shortstop, second, center field. There would be those that would argue that the starters, who we presume to be the starters this weekend for Southern Miss, aren't maybe as strong up the middle, but the team overall is getting higher expectations. That's kind of an interesting thought process there.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, you lose a second rounder in center field and a third rounder at second base, and it's tough to replace. But, you know, we kind of stress that with Kyle and Stelly and Urban. You know, you don't got to be Jake Cook. You don't got to be Nick Monastir. Just go up there, you know, you're enough. So go be yourself. But I do think we're stronger up the middle than people think. You know, Stockman has continued to get better and has been really good behind the plate. Ty Long or Seth Smith, defensively at shortstop. I mean, Ozzie has been was so good for us for 2 years. But I mean, honestly, I don't think it's gonna be a huge dip on the defensive side of the ball at all. Now center field's the one. You know, you lose probably a Gold Glove big league center fielder. You're not gonna replace that. But with Joey and Caleb being 22 and 23 years old, they played a lot of baseball. They may not be as fast as Jake, but you know they take good angles. They make the right play, and you know I just think we can kind of just continue to play winning style baseball, even though we may not make the ESPN's top 10 as much. you know, I think we can dominate routine plays.
And you don't necessarily have to be as good defensively if you can rake it better than the year before.
Or if the other team can't score.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we had some holes on defense, you know, in our two super regional teams that, you know, back-to-back years. So you got to find different ways to win. We can pitch it and play defense. There's three aspects of the game, so you just got to beat the other team at two of them and you can find a way to win.
We're talking to baseball coach Travis Creel Wednesday on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're going to ask Coach to hang on just a few minutes, a couple more questions on the other side of the break. As we head to the break, MCS Home Center reminds you that for home repair, remodeling, construction, they've got everything you need. For your next project, home, lawn, or garden, it's all at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. It's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center, local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. More with Travis Creel, other side of the break.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've got Travis Creel on the phone with us today, and we sure appreciate him coming on. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment. Eagle Tire West, where Matt Warren invites you to see he and his staff for premium Goodyear products, full service, truck and auto service as well. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Big Golden Eagle supporters. And Coach Creel, I bet you know a thing or two about Matt Warren, don't you?
He just came over to the house and watched the Super Bowl with me. He's a good one. Good family, good people, good at tires.
Yeah, no question. No question about that. All right, Coach, let's talk to you just a few minutes about the league in general. And kind of an interesting conversation we were having off air about how the league is better when Louisiana and South Alabama are good, but neither one of those programs getting a lot of love. When you look at those programs who have traditionally been very good, what are you expecting out of them this year?
You know, it's tough to say. Both those programs, you know, lost a lot on paper. And you know, I don't know a ton about what they brought in recruiting wise, but yeah, you know, with both of those programs have great history, great tradition, great facilities, great fan bases. So our league's definitely better when they're rolling, and you know, I think it's good for all of us.
Interesting comment you made. You think Troy would have gotten in the regionals last year, which probably they should have anyway, had Louisiana and South Al been a little better. So the strength of other teams within your league can have a direct effect on your team.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look at our league 2 years ago was a four-bid league. You know, I think Troy was every bit as good as, you know, those teams from 2 years ago, last year. So, you know, it's not just South Alabama and last year, it's the whole league. It's really important to win non-conference games because when you do that RPI climbs and every point matters, especially, you know, I hate to use the word mid-major, but it's tough. You know, every game you play at this level is really important and can either – you know, turn you from a host or turn you into not making the NCAA tournament. So we definitely need the league to continue to be good.
Travis, I wanted to ask you about a couple of players on this team. And to start with Davis Gillespie, he talked to us on air a couple days ago about, working with you to kind of just develop that swing over the offseason. And I said it on the air the other day that, almost every scrimmage I've been to, he's hit a home run. So I'm expecting big things from him this year. What say you?
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely not a talent issue, right?
Right.
He's as talented as anybody in our league. It's real power from foul pole to foul pole. And, I think last year he got in a bit of a funk where, we call it being in between timing. He couldn't quite get on time for a good fastball and was early on off speed and just kind of always in the middle. And this fall and early this spring, he's looked great and, could be a huge piece for us in the middle of the lineup.
And then a guy like Ben Higdon, when you're just sitting there penciling in a lineup, he might be in that 5-6-7 hole. But that's just kind of a testament to how deep the lineup is. And Stockman fits into this as well, where they both have light towering power, but, you have so many other players too. I just feel like the lineup is just that deep this year. It's just a testament to the talent on it.
Yeah, I think so too. You could honestly just draw out of a hat 4 through 8.
Right.
All very similar hitters. They're all big, strong dudes and hit the ball to the wall. They've all done it at this level before, which is nice as well. Last year, maybe a little more left-handed than this lineup. I think this year we'll run out 3, max 4 lefties, I would assume, a game, where last year we were maybe 5 or 6. So a little different there. But, yeah, like you said, the 4 through 8, it's proven quality Division I hitters, which is comforting.
The NIL shoes, Coach, that we're now being comfortable wearing, in the next couple of years, do you see NIL evolving any more that you would have to change strategies recruiting-wise in the middle of a stream again going forward?
I don't think so. I think the rules in place now, once they get finalized and stamped and everyone's got to follow them completely, which is basically everyone's got a budget. Every university's got a budget, every school, every sport's got a budget where, I think it'll kind of even the playing field. The one thing that'll definitely change things a little bit is, us going down to a 34-man roster, which some teams will be lower than us this year. I think we're at 42. We'll have to be at 34 in the next 4 years. And it's a weird deal. It's been really weird since COVID because every year rules have changed just dramatically. But it's nice to finally have some stuff in place where you kind of know what the future looks like.
We began the segment talking about other teams in the league and something that we've kind of tossed around here. Hypothetical, of course. You guys do not play Coastal Carolina, but you do play Troy. Coastal Carolina doesn't play Troy. Coastal Carolina does not play Southern Miss. So hypothetically, you could have Coastal Carolina have the best record in the league but have a much worse RPI than you and the other teams, and it just doesn't make any sense to the average fan. And I know you'd never complain about anything, but if you were a commissioner and could wave a magic wand, there's got to be a better solution for this scheduling situation conference-wise, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know the exact answer, but it's frustrating. You want to play the best. Last year we didn't play Coastal, and we ended up, I think we lost to them by 2 games, so who knows what can happen in the regular season. But at the end of the day, it's hard because these leagues have gotten so big. You can't play – our baseball season's 14 weeks long. You can't play 14 conference weekends. So it's tough. I think looking at it, I think – and definitely the Sun Belt's talking about it, possibly, scheduling with some RPI-driven purposes where, we're not technically broken up into East-West, but we kind of are, where we miss 3 teams on the East. So – hopefully in the future we get to play kind of the top tier of the East side of it.
I think everybody just wants to be judged on their entire body of work, assuming that everybody's body of work was equal going in.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Much more easy to compare.
They have
teams.
A much easier path to win the regular season than Troy or Southern Miss.
Agreed, because they don't play either.
Correct.
So, and I just think there's got to be a better way, and you hope that the leaders that be will.
All right, Coach, you've been around baseball a lot in your life. We've got Mark Patton, the beat writer for UC Santa Barbara, on the show scheduled tomorrow. And Dima talked to him earlier this week, and he told us something that struck us as being really odd. that all week when they're practicing out there, they are pumping loud crowd noise into their stadium to prepare their players for playing at the Pete. I've never heard of that in college baseball before. What is your reaction when you hear that?
I've never heard that either, but I mean, honestly, I think it's awesome. I think it's created by their coaches, but I think it's a testament to how nationwide, how hard it is to play here and how loud it is. So big testament to our fans. But, yeah, I read that in an article the other day. I thought that was interesting. And, again, I just think it's a pat on the back to our fans.
Real quick comment, too. I read an article this morning. Mike Bianco, Ole Miss coach, references Southern Miss, and he basically says Southern Miss should not be called a mid-major. They do everything that the best Power Four programs in the country do every year. High compliment from a guy, in all honesty, though, Coach, has always been first class and very complimentary of your program.
Yeah, he's always been nothing but great to me, and I know Coach Mary and Coach Oz as well. So I've heard him comment that before, and I've heard his pregame speeches to players to be sure that they know this is very similar to an SEC game. But that's awesome to hear. You know, compliments are great, but kind of got to drown that out and go play some ball.
Do you think we should tell Mark Patton tomorrow not to worry about the noise, that our fans will be very well-behaved, quiet, and polite this weekend?
He may not come on the show again if we go back there in a couple of years.
So. You know, those players, they might be used to the noise, but are they used to getting hit in the head with full beer cans? That's what I want to know.
their bullpen has a real awakening.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure they know what they're getting into. It'll be fun. It'll be awesome.
Hey, we look forward to having you on the show every week, man. We love our conversations with you, and looking forward to seeing you this weekend at the Peak.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Travis Creel, everybody.
Yeah, we were kind of joking with him too, Bob, that we were fictitiously putting this pool together, and how soon will we see the first social media post that says fire Creel? And we were going maybe a week, maybe 10 days. Maybe.
Third inning.
That's what he thought. Third inning of the first game. I said, man, that's a tough crowd.
It's an MLB arm.
Oh, yeah. If they can't hit this All-American pitcher very well Friday night, they'll be screaming for trying.
Right, just jump off the bridge, you know.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be out at the Pete this Friday, 1 to 3 o'clock. Got a great lineup set for you. Dima and I will be anchoring the show along with Hill Denson, so Lord only knows what'll happen.
Whew, sorry, I don't know what that was.
What'd you do there? You have lunch at Ward's?
Yeah, I did.
That tuna salad's tough.
It is.
Kelly. Yeah. We banned Kelly from eating tuna salad for other reasons, but
well, I don't go to Ward's much anymore because they don't have the buffet. You know, I'm big on buffets.
That sounds awful. Ward's buffet.
A Ward's buffet.
Oh, that
just
man,
sounds awful.
Would you hit a Ward's buffet?
About six big ones, I'm good to go. You know,
yeah. Six big.
Just
ones.
Imagine like a big, you know.
You eat six
tray
big
of that
ones. You eat six big
chili.
Ones. You're not allowed in the studio for a week.
I don't know. I could take care of the insects if there's any insects. In
you can kill the bird problem out front.
That's true, too.
Ty Long's expected to be the new shortstop. Is that fair to say? We'll hear from that very young player next.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank Travis Creel. He'll be with us every Wednesday, starting today, and we're grateful for that. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They're on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art training, baseball, softball, adult sports of any sport. Great facilities, batting cages, tracks, you name it. Pretty nice, huh, Kelly?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's cold outside, hot outside, humid, raining, whatever. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Just make your scheduled times at DBAT. It's always going to be air-conditioned comfort.
Forest Health reminds you that it's important to take care of the most important player on your team. That's you. Be sure you get an annual physical. Eat right, try to exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Very, very lucky to have that great institution here in the Pine Belt. All right, so we're just a couple of days away. Ozzie Pratt is gone. Ozzie's making pizzas and enjoying life and not at shortstop anymore. So there's a youngster by the name of Tylon. Kind of tell us a little bit about him, Dima. I know you cover the team closely.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, he was a freshman last season, did start a couple of games last year at shortstop when Ozzie was going through that little injury. Battled it out with Seth Smith. Seth Smith kind of got a little banged up, I believe, in spring. And, you know, it seems like Ty Long has won that battle, and he is definitely going to start on Friday. I would expect him in the nine hole. You know, he's looked really good. I mean, I haven't had really any complaints with him. I agree with what Travis Creel said in that interview of don't really think his defensive abilities has looked any worse, you know, or anything like that stands out. It's just some of those plays that Ozzie made, you're probably not going to see, right? Where he's diving in the gap and makes this crazy play. Now, that will come. It just might not be immediately. Right. And I think that's what people are going to have to
prepare. Can't compare him right now to Ozzie.
No.
All right, here's Tylon. Ty Long on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Ty, come in as a freshman last year, but I think your moment has arrived, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do. I think so.
What's your thought process right now? You're right on the verge of being a starting shortstop for a nationally ranked baseball team.
I mean, just coming in every day with the same mindset that I've got a job to fulfill and I'm going to do everything I can to do it. I mean, I wake up every day, I think about the opportunity, and then I attack the day same way every single day.
I would think players like you look at it more as an opportunity than something that perhaps makes you nervous.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that. I mean, it's an opportunity, but, like, at the end of the day, nerves can get to you. But, like, you just got to sit back and breathe and, like, see how it is. Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to be playing baseball no matter what, you know what I mean? It's the same game that I've played my whole life. And, like, it's just, like, excitement, man. Just the opportunity to just, like, go out there and grab something and just take it by the heart and just – you know, like, it's awesome. I love it.
What did your first year teach you? How are you a better player today than you were when you first came here?
Yeah, first year, a lot of struggles in the fall and then not many opportunities in the spring. But, like, I would say it mainly taught me, like, the mental aspect of stuff. You know, playing so many games over the course of the season, that's something that you've never done as a freshman. And, like, just seeing the older guys and how they handle failures and how they handle success, just kind of taking different things from them and just, like, understanding it's always going to be about the process. You're not always going to get the results. You can't control that every single day, every single game. But, like, just trusting the process and understanding, like, if you've got a good mindset and a good head, then you got a better chance than not.
We saw you both in the infield and on the mound last year. Any talk of you pitching, or do you think it'll strictly be shortstop?
It'll strictly be shortstop this year. Me and Coach Oz had a conversation at the end of last season, and he said, "We're not going to need you, son." I said, "Sounds good, Coach."
Yeah. Well, now you get to play every day.
Absolutely. I love it. I love playing shortstop.
All right. Your expectations for this baseball team and for you?
Expectations for this baseball team is to win a national championship. I mean, that's just an easy answer, but – my expectations is I shock a lot of people. I mean, the national rankings are, it's whatever, you know. They don't give us a whole lot of credit, but they got us ranked this year. But at the end of the day, that stuff doesn't really matter. It's beating the other team when they step on this field and we go to their place. I mean, I just expect this team to just absolutely be more physical than the other team every single chance we get. Like, it's not football, but you do have to be physical, and we're going to be more physical than every single team we play.
Ty, last question. What does it mean to you personally to be here as a Golden Eagle baseball player?
Being here is amazing. You got an entire city, entire fan base that wants nothing but good for you. I mean, you can walk down the street to a restaurant and, like, shake somebody's hand and just, like, for them to say, "Man, I'm so glad you're here." It's just such a welcoming place, and there's no place on earth like it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's Baseburg, my man.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. Thank you, y'all. All right, you said something off air that was really fascinating to me, Dima. You reminded me that this kid in high school was considered one of the very best baseball pitchers in the state, mm-hmm. and yet he's told by Oz that we really don't need you to pitch.
Yeah, no, and he was so good. You know, a couple of years ago, I remember that, I think it was Ripley and Summerall series in the state championship game, 27 strikeouts over that series, I believe, which is just crazy numbers. Of course, they came up short to a really good Summerall club. But, yeah, and I think everybody, when he came to Southern Miss, thought he was going to be able to pitch. Now, I'm not going to be the first one to question Coach Ostrander. If he sees somebody, and he obviously saw him pitch, and he's probably like, listen, your stuff's just probably not as good as some of these other guys, and listen, where we need you is in the field, and that's where they're going to have him.
Kelly, I would think a kid would rather play in the field because they get to play every game.
One way or the other, you just want to be able to focus on one thing, and I think one of the things that kids have trouble struggling with in high school and JUCO or college is when they're called POs, pitchers only. All right, this is the other side of the story. Guys go, oh man, I'm just going to be a pitcher only. I said, dude, if you're doing your good job as a pitcher, it's a full-time job. So don't worry about, you know, not putting up the numbers that you did in high school. And he talked about really wanting to surprise people. One of the advantages of athletes who come from smaller high schools have is the expectation level isn't very high. They'll say, well, he came from a smaller high school, probably didn't see a lot of great players, even though in Mississippi it's certainly better than in other states. So you really have the expectations are low, which can allow you to really go out and shine and see what you're all about. But, yeah, most players would just say – they're uncomfortable with it at first because they're not used to it, but when they do settle it in their mind, I just have to focus on one thing. And the fact that they don't need him as a pitcher shows you the overall health of this Southern Miss baseball program as to where it is.
Well, they did have him as a pitcher last season, and he did pitch last year. But I think that this season they just had so many freshman arms and said, listen, we need you in the field. We have a void here at shortstop. And, you know, you're going to battle it out with Seth Smith, and it looks like he's won it. Just to give you his numbers in high school, though, because it is just crazy. 34-10, 474 strikeouts, a 1.60 ERA in high school at Ripley. So, you know, obviously really good numbers. And, you know, expect him to be in the nine hole on Friday for that first lineup. I just, you know, you're not going to put him ahead of any of these other players to start, but I expect him to be a really good piece for them in the nine hole. I mean, I don't expect him to be a terrible hitter even while being in the nine hole. No, I mean, heck, Tucker Stockman is in the eight hole, and this man is probably going to have 10 or 15. Correct. So this lineup is incredibly deep, and you know, here's the truth of the matter is if Ty Long starts having a bad season, they're just going to put Seth Smith right in there. You know, if Kyle Morrison starts to not look great at second, they're just going to put in that freshman Braden Maranto, which, by the way, Braden Maranto, this is my bold take, he will be on the field a lot this season, Braden Maranto.
And I think that just, again, reemphasizes the point of the overall health of this Southern Miss program. You throw a blanket over about eight of them, pull one out, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're all great.
You know what I'm hoping more than anything for Ty Long is that by the end of the season, he's shaving. I mean, he's like a baby. He's just so young, Kelly.
Well, you know, you have no control. Like I said, all I can do is go out there and work as hard as I can. But Ripley, man, look at the town of Ripley. I think Will Hall is from Ripley. We talk Joe Burrow's grandparents still live in Ripley, Mississippi. I mean, the small town just cranking out lots of sports
Ripley,
personalities.
Guys? Is that a South Mississippi community?
No, it's up in the – I think it's kind of north of Newton, kind of around in that area, kind of east central, northeast central.
Well, let me tell you, that's another thing that's changed. And I lived in the Delta a long time, and – man, there were many, many, many years that Southern Miss didn't get any baseball players from North Mississippi. They went to State or Ole Miss. Those days are long gone.
Well, State and Ole Miss now, how many guys from Mississippi are they actually going after?
They don't even try.
Well, because they've got all this money now. They can get guys from literally anywhere they want.
When you think of the whole left side of the infield for Southern Miss and outfield, you know, you talk about veteran as far as the whole lineup is concerned, but that left side between Dre Barrett, Ty Long, and then Davis Gillespie in left field. You know, you got junior, sophomore. So that right there on the left side is probably the younger side, but you wouldn't trust anyone else other than those players because they've all proven it. So.
I think you're exactly right. I think Davis Gillespie's going to be a bull all year long.
Yes, I do too. I'm, you know, obviously I'm driving the bus for him. If you can read that in my article on Hub City Spokes coming out. But, I think he's going to be really, really, really special. And There's so many good players on this team. Like I've said before, and I've been documented saying this is probably the best team that Ostrander's had in his tenure.
All right, when we come back, softball's off to a good start, but they had a tough task last night as they went up and played a nationally ranked Mississippi State team. We'll tell you the results of that, kind of break that one down as the Super Talk Eagle Hour continues. Want to remind you about our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are fine. Their showroom is fine, too. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Thanks to Mr. Grubbs, Kevin, all our good buddies at Genesis of Hattiesburg. And One of our favorite places, Kelly Sander, Mo Bay Beignet Company. It'd be a good weekend, 2902 Hardy Street.
It's always a good day.
Always a good day at Mo Bay Beignet.
After you get done with Mo Bay's, pop that first beer and get over there to Pete Taylor Park.
Beignets and beer. Interesting.
We'll be Breakfast back. Of champions, buddy.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back, everybody. If you can't catch the show, be sure you catch the podcast. It's available every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. All right, Dima, women's softball off to a great start, but ran into a bit of a buzzsaw last night.
Yeah, obviously we covered it yesterday on the show. Number 19 Mississippi State on the road lost 5-0 to the Bulldogs. You know, they actually played them pretty well. It was actually a pretty decently close game. Mississippi State was leading 1-0 into the fifth inning, I believe. But then they just kind of pulled away in that I believe it was the fifth or sixth inning. They started pulling away and finished that game off 5-0 around the league. Benet, I always forget his, like, mess up his first name. What is it, Jahi or?
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good.
I think it's Jahi. Jahi Benet was named the Sun Belt Player of the Week. So congratulations to him. It was really, really impressive weekend, of course, for him. You know,
and really, when you talk about basketball, since now Tavares is back in the lineup now for Southern Miss, and you saw what a difference maker he was with them beating a very solid Kent State team, albeit by 1 point. But hey, a win is a win. But Benet has been the guy that was kind of stepping up in the interim there, because Weeks, everybody had been keying on Tyler Weeks, and so somebody had to kind of pick up that slack, and Benet did it, and that recognition helps prove that indeed he was doing great work.
Yeah, he averaged 24 points and 11 rebounds over the weekend, so that's averaging a double-double, so you can't be disappointed about that. Both men and women's basketball back in action this week with two home games each on Thursday and Saturday. By the way, on the men's side, Southern Miss right now is down in the standings, of course. They're 11th, I believe. 3, 6, 9. Yeah, I'm just trying to do quick math. 11th in the league right now. But the bright side of that is they're only two games back from fifth. So if you have a good week this weekend, right now they're 8-2 at home. You know, they could make some headway in the standings, playing two of the top teams in the standings with Troy coming here on Saturday and South Alabama tomorrow night. Now, on the other side, on the women's side, they're much further down in the standings and doesn't have much room to grow. They're 5-7 right now overall. They've been battling injury. You know, they've lost 6 out of their last 7 games, but they do have an easier game tomorrow night against Louisiana Monroe, who's just, you know, been obviously disappointing, but they're actually having a decent season at 11-12. And then Texas State on at home on Saturday, who is, you know, average team 10-13, 6-6. So chances for both teams to get some wins this weekend to position themselves better in the standings as we inch closer to finally the end of all of this in Pensacola.
The good news for the men's team is that they have some home games, but the bad news is they're against some pretty good clubs.
Correct.
You know, coming in here. So they're going to earn everything that they get, but they wouldn't have it any other way. And officials at Southern Miss have got their hands full this Saturday, especially if the R word creeps into the weather forecast, because you already got a men and women's basketball game on Saturday, a baseball game on Saturday. It's just going to be crazy on campus.
Yeah, I don't want to say what you were referencing, because that would mean a 15-hour day for me.
Yes, so. but you know, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't accurately necessarily predict the weather all the time. Yeah, so, but
maybe
right
those
now,
glasses could help you predict the weather.
Yeah, my peepers, my beautiful new peepers reading glasses. That if you need reading glasses, you're never going to find any better pair than peepers, and you can find them at MCS Home Centers, Bob. right now.
He's proud of those glasses. And Hank, if you're listening, I've never seen him happier about a gift.
It's great.
And he accepts a lot of gifts.
Yeah.
Great to be able to see.
When was the last time you even swiped your credit card?
Yes. Does your credit card swipe?
No, I've got it in my own pocket here.
Do you?
Or swiped? You mean somebody stole it?
That means you use it.
What does swipe mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, never mind.
Just right over his head.
I just pulled this up on my phone, guys. It says Friday's fine. I'm looking at 65% chance of rain, but that's Saturday night,
correct,
right? And
yeah,
then early Sunday morning, an 85% chance. But thank God there's a turf field, and it drains really fast.
Yeah, I don't think it should be a problem, even if they move that Sunday game. You know, well, I don't know if they can because of travel, but yeah, I don't think it should be a problem to get all three games in. I don't foresee it being an issue. Yeah.
Cal Santa Barbara coming in with their avocado and tofu concessions,
which I think they get here today, by the way.
Yeah, I want to encourage our fans to be nice this weekend. These California boys have sensitive feelings, and I've seen the way they treat the visiting bullpen. It can be ugly, Kelly.
We don't want to do anything that would cause them to be triggered. Or have to, although I guess when they signed the contract, it was put in there that we had to provide them a safe space.
They have a safe space.
Yes,
it's over there by the 16th.
16-ounce lounge.
That's where your safe space.
The
is
worst place that you could put a safe space for anybody on the other team.
Well, they could ease back there by the roost. Those guys are always very cordial.
Talk about triggering.
But think about Saturday's game. It's going to be at noon. You know, how many people will be wasted at noon for
right.
a baseball game?
Is it 12 noon?
Yeah.
Why is it at 12 noon?
Because it's Super Saturday.
Yeah. They've got to schedule. They want to get the basketball game so they
By the way,
conflict.
That was a joke. Everybody over there will be wasted.
You know, and actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that or I'd have been 2 hours late.
No,
thank you for that, Damon. All right, back tomorrow. At
the dog's going to be on tomorrow, Landon Payne.
Oh, the dog is in the house, and yep, we got the boy, talk about a contrast. The dog and the reporter that covers
Santa Barbara.
It's too bad they've never met the dog, have they?
Where is their safe space anyway?
Goodness. I told you, 16, we're going to get canceled.
16th out lounge. That's where we've got it set up for.
Great. Yeah.
Well, Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.